This is 88.5 GPB Atlanta. I'm Ricky Bevington. With tens of thousands of people moving into Atlanta in the last several years, expanding the city's infrastructure and making it livable has long been a standing priority. Some changes are in the works. The city is spending $250 million in bonds to improve roads, bridges, and traffic signals. And MARTA is seeking feedback on its own expansion. Walkability and transit alternatives have been central to the work of Amir Farouki. He was elected in January to represent parts of Midtown and downtown Atlanta as the Atlanta City Council member for District 2. He joined me this week in the studio, and we began the conversation with a thought exercise about what happens when you walk down the street and the sidewalk ends, either because it's broken, blocked, or was never there.
You don't have to imagine this scenario because it happens on a lot of our streets. And one of the biggest reasons why this happens is the city technically does not maintain, repair, and update sidewalks as part of its obligation. The obligation is put on property owners. So what you have is kind of hodgepodge repair and maintenance of sidewalks. And quite often, it's a bit too much to ask a homeowner to spend $3,000, $4,000, or $5,000 to pave the sidewalk in front of their house, or, you know, a company to do the same. And so I've introduced legislation earlier in the year to shift that burden. Just like you would expect the city to fix the streets, you would expect the city to fix the sidewalks. They're a public right of way. This goes to a bigger issue, I think, on how we think about the role of city government and what it should be focused on. My view is, you know, our lives are made up of hundreds of small interactions with the space around us. And it's the city's obligation to make sure that people can exist in a city and want to be in a city. And that means there's trash cans where trash cans should be, sidewalks are fixed, the crosswalk signal works, that services are working at a high level. And we can tackle big projects, but it's the small stuff that really makes an experience in a city something that's, I think, respectful of the human experience, but also it makes it a place where people want to be. And I think that's where our a big part of our focus needs to be.
What is the history of Atlanta not being responsible? And by Atlanta, I mean city government, for sidewalks. That I think most people assume that, well, that's the city's problem.
Yeah, it's actually not uncommon across the country. It's a mixed bag. You see cities who say, hey, this is our responsibility. I think Boston and Charlotte are among those that say sidewalks are our responsibility. In other cities, you see a hybrid where it's a shared cost burden between the city and residents or a property owner. And in other cities like ours today, it's on the property owner. I think in many ways, it's a way to try and avoid liability, but fundamentally, the city's liable, and the city pays out a lot of money every year. I recently asked for the numbers, and last year, for example, the city paid out $764,000 in settlement claims for sidewalk injuries or accidents. This is real cost to the city that isn't just, hey, let's avoid the liability of it, but this is, do we respect the people who are in our city? And are we really putting our money where our mouth is when we say we want to be a walkable city?
For our disabled citizens, this isn't a matter of choice or convenience or how much you like your city. It's actually a matter of being able to leave your home.
Yeah, I talked to a gentleman who lives in Midtown who is wheelchair bound. And he has to, because there's no crosswalk where a crosswalk should be, and because there's no sidewalk where a sidewalk should be, he has to get off at a MARTA stop that's further from the closest MARTA stop to his doctor's office. Because from that further MARTA stop, he can actually traverse a sidewalk that gets into the doctor's office. And it's small stuff like that to you and I. Like, we can step out in the street or, you know, jump over something. But this is, you know, someone's livelihood and ability to function in our society. And if we're not respecting that human condition, then we're failing as a city.
The city of Atlanta did recently tweet that it fixed close to 9,000 potholes in the first 7 months of this year. That's about 42 a day. It sounds like a lot. And yet driving down the street, there's still plenty to be seen, as well as the famous metal plates. So what is the current process for reporting those issues? And do changes need to be made with how the Public Works Department fixes things?
Well, there's many issues at play. Two I want to point out. One is, do we need to do a better job investing in our infrastructure? Yes. The T-SPLOST and Renew Atlanta money is doing that, probably not with the scope and urgency that I'd like to see, but we are investing in that infrastructure. The second issue is when it comes to those steel plates, the ubiquitous steel plates, some of them are the city's. And if you see one and it's been there too long, or it's loose and it's rattling, or it's a nuisance, you should call 311 and report it, or email your council member. We can help tackle it.
What is 311?
So 311 is the city's non-emergency service request number. So you can call about anything, right? A missing stop sign, a flooded street, whatever it may be, a missed trash pickup. And then that service redirects the request to the appropriate department to hopefully get something fixed.
One of the biggest issues on Atlantans' minds right now is the federal bribery probe looming over City Hall. Federal investigators are marking the fifth criminal bribery indictment of people working for and with City Hall under the prior administration. Do you expect City Council to be more aggressive as a check to the power of the mayor?
So I think that's up to the collective body. I think we've seen a lot of political will on the part of my colleagues and myself to propose alternatives, whether it's stronger ethics provisions, new approaches to the procurement process. And I think we're starting to lead on that. We've introduced a round of legislation and touches on a number of things. And to be fair, the mayor, I think, also cares very much about this. She said as much and she's acted as much. She introduced some legislation this week that started to tackle it. But I think there's a lot of good ideas that council has thought of that will likely take the form of legislation. And this shouldn't be who's leading who. This is a collective exercise in good governance.
Who are the peer cities of Atlanta?
You could look at that question through an issue lens. I tend to look at it as less regionally, more globally. Are we doing things as well as Singapore when it comes to integrating parks into our city? You know, are we thinking about mobility and access to jobs like you may be thinking about it in Stockholm or Copenhagen? You know, are we Seoul, South Korea has done amazing, amazing work kind of repurposing the city for walkability and livability, including taking down a major highway and putting through a really strong linear park. I actually think we're at a really special moment in the city's evolution, because I think for the first time in probably the last 5 to 10 years, I feel like the city is very comfortable in its own skin. They're very proud of who we are, our idiosyncrasies, the type of culture that we create. I kind of think about the future and I get really excited because there's just so much we can do to go from kind of great to remarkable. And it's the little things like the sidewalks we talked about, but it's also the sense that, look, like we can lead on things. And this is a place where big ideas can take flight. And we should be embracing that and cultivating that in every aspect of our lives.
And I think the Beltline is a big part of that.
The Beltline is a visionary project. You know, it is transformative in so many ways. I think the most exciting thing about the Beltline to me is, you know, for years, this has been a diverse city, but you wouldn't know it because everyone's stuck in their car. And all of a sudden, people are out on this, as the New York Times likes to call it, a glorified sidewalk with others. And it's just this beautiful thing to witness and something we should be promoting, not just along the Beltline, but across the city. I'm really excited to see what we look like 30 years from now.
The way I put it to people is that it seems like Atlanta's finally learning how to craft quality urban living, whereas we've been so focused on the suburbs and quality of life in the suburbs. It's like, no, I demand a safe city street. I demand a sidewalk without a giant hole in it or a metal plate on it. I demand to be able to afford to live here. And that spirit is like, I have higher standards for where I'm going to be living inside the city limits.
Absolutely. Quick aside, there's a bridge in Paris that goes over the island where Notre Dame sits. And it's Pointe Neuf, I think, there's a Pointe Neuf bridge that crosses one side of the Seine to the other. Before that bridge was built, Paris was like many other big European cities that had pigs in the street. But once that bridge was built, it was built in a way that was wide enough so that people could stop their carriages or people could sit. And all of a sudden, this bridge across the Seine became this place where people came and hung out and started to get out of their carriages. So the wealthy mixed with the poor, street vendors popped up. And it's actually you could trace the Paris as a fashion capital to this moment because people started changing their attire to show off on the bridge. And I kind of view the Beltline like this. This is our Pointe Neuf bridge moment, right, in Atlanta, is that all of a sudden people are out of their cars. They're not just exercising and walking. They're interacting with each other. The spaces along the Beltline that are getting built are meant to draw people in and to entertain people and feed people and house people. And it's much more of a public lifestyle that really transforms how we identify with the city, who we think of ourselves as a city, as individuals. And, you know, it brings smiles to a lot of people's faces. And it's truly, truly transformative.
Amir Farouki is Atlanta City Council member for District 2, representing parts of Midtown and Downtown. I'm Ricky Bevington.